I need to turn my microphone on.
Forgot about that.
Right. So what are modern public folders? How do you deploy them? How do you migrate them? What do you get in Office 365? What are the limits? Hi, I'm Kanika, and I'm excited to be here with you wonderful people to talk about modern public folders. I've been with Microsoft close to 7 years now, and nothing comes close to being as challenging or as exciting to work on as public folders. You know, so you guys sure keep my job very interesting. You guys keep keep having the feedback coming, and it's wonderful because I know you guys are using it and it's important to you, and that's awesome job satisfaction. Well, that said, let me introduce you to my co-presenter here, Siggy, who is our MVP, and I joke with him usually that he's been working on public folders since the late 20th century.
Yeah, she always makes me feel very old. Yeah, that's really. But to be honest, yes, it's true. In a couple of 10 years ago, I did a lot of public folder projects, planning for public folders. Nowadays, I do projects reducing or getting rid of public folders. Yeah, so here comes my first question. Who's currently using public folders in the room? I hope almost everybody. Almost. So
nice. There's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who already tried to get rid of public folders? Yeah, half of it. And who succeeded? Oh wow! So we have a couple of people here that like our presentation, Dan. Yeah. Now we are talking in this session about migration and of course of public folders. Oh, by the way, did you know that how public folders internally are called? They are the cockroaches of Exchange.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, you know why? They hide in the dark, yeah? Once you have them, their number increases uncontrollable. Yeah? And finally they are very hard to get rid of. You cannot kill them easily.
Well,
is that true?
I'm an insect lover, so you know, cockroaches are cute.
Yeah, so so Kanika, yeah, then explain us about public folders.
Yeah, let's do that. So talking about cockroaches, I'm sorry, public folders. All right, so let's get started. So we have a lot of interesting content for you guys. But before we get into the content, I want to remind you guys to fill this survey. And it looks like a lot of you want to get rid of public folders. And you know, we are absolutely committing to supporting it. But we do want to understand, what is the reason all of you guys have public folder deployments? Why is that it's so important to you? And what are the ways we could help you to meet those requirements? So we want to get your voice heard in the survey. If there's anything which you feel like the questions don't address, then you know, feel free to scribble in the, you can't scribble, but type in the free spaces that's provided. And we'd be happy to help out. Also, there is two more sessions for public folders. So there is one right after this one, which is from 6 to 7. And that is going to be our interactive session. That's more of, for one, product group asking questions to customers and asking, hey, what do you guys really use public folders for? So it's similar to the survey concept, but we want to really talk to you firsthand. And so join us there in 5A. And I know attendee party starts by then, but there'll be a lot of booze, a lot of food, so make sure you join us at least for part of it, and then you guys could go on to attendee party. And the second session, which is dedicated to Q&A, we know you have a lot of questions. It's a whole hour and 15 minutes for public folders and site mailboxes, so you guys could feel free to ask all the questions. You can feel free to save them up if you want after today's talk, and we'll be happy to answer. All right, so let's get started with architecture. So we talk about modern public folders. Why are we calling them modern public folders? What's a modern? So before we get into the why they're modern, let's get into why we changed them. So a lot of you have been using public folders for a really long time. And a lot of you wanted to migrate to Office 365. And with the old architecture, we couldn't really support migrating to Office 365. So what we've done here is we said, hey, you know, let's change up the architecture. Let's enable customers to get to the cloud. So if you have public folders, it's not a curse that you have to be stuck on-premise. You can still benefit from the cloud wonders. So we said, okay, no, let's change up the architecture. Let's enable it on the cloud. The other one that was a driving factor is that we're always doing a lot of engineering improvements on Exchange in general. And most of you guys obviously use user mailboxes. And a lot of investment goes in there into making them better. And some of the things that you get with user mailboxes is high availability and data redundancy. And those are some of the things we wanted to enable for public folders as well, so that if you're using public folders, you could benefit from these same engineering improvements that we do on Exchange in general. So the new architecture is forward-looking. It helps you benefit from it. And lastly, multi-master replication. How many of you guys had a hard time managing multi-master replication? Okay, some people. All right, so what we've done here is with modern public folders, you have a single master, so no more multiple masters because too many cooks in the kitchen, right? Yeah. So multi-master is replaced with single master. You have a single read-write copy of hierarchy, and you have multiple read-only copies. We'll get into more detail with that. All right, so now let's get into what really changed. What is new in Exchange 2013 public folders? So first thing, there's no changes to the user experience. So if you are an end user going to Outlook, opening up your hierarchy, doing post operations, whatever else you do for your public folder work, that doesn't change. So that's something that was our core goal while doing the re-architecture. The other big one, which is the core of the new architecture, is that public folder databases no longer exist. We said, let's make admin management easy. Let's make public folder mailboxes, which is the new concept we're bringing in, live in the same space as the mailbox databases. So now public folders are living in mailboxes, which are containers. So as we go through the presentation, think of mailboxes as a similar concept like databases. These are not addressable entities. These are containers to contain public folders. And these mailboxes would live in the same databases as your user mailboxes. All right. And again, I touched upon this briefly, but you will have readable hierarchy on each public folder mailbox. So users can log into mailboxes and get the hierarchy they need. And there will be a single write copy of the hierarchy. And that write copy is the only one where folder writes, permission management, folder creations, deletions, those operations are performed, and everything else just gets a copy of the currentmost hierarchy. All right, so this slide calls out the high level of the new architecture. So in this case, you can see there is one primary mailbox, which is in the middle. It's the green mailbox, and that the hierarchy there is green because that is the single read-write copy of hierarchy. So when you create your first mailbox, your first public folder mailbox, that is, in your organization, that kicks off your public folder deployment in the organization. And that first mailbox that you create is the primary read-write copy of hierarchy. From there on, any subsequent mailboxes are read-only copies. So the two gray mailboxes here are read-only copies. Also, you would notice that each mailbox has folder content. So each mailbox has the hierarchy and the folders, and the folders living in each mailbox are unique. So as you can see, the red folder and green folder, for example, are only in secondary mailbox one. Now, if you have a DAG deployment, which we highly recommend you do, then you would have all the passive copies also containing that content, and that's how you would benefit from the data redundancy part of the DAGs. All right, so I talked about hierarchy synchronization. How does that work? So in this case, and before I get started, The folder one that you see is my hierarchy view. So it's not the content. I'm showing you the hierarchy view of today in my hierarchy, I have a single folder that exists. We'll go over what happens when a folder write operation happens. Okay, so I have a client that connects to a public folder mailbox. Now, you could have multiple users in the organization, and we have an automatic load balancing algorithm where each user is allocated a public folder mailbox. What that means is, as a user, I always go to that mailbox to get my hierarchy. That's the mailbox I go to do, to expand my tree. And if I have any content connections that I need, then I connect directly to the content mailbox. But if not, then if my content is on the same mailbox, then I just get the content from there. So in this case, let's say the user decides to create folder 2. Now he was connected to a secondary mailbox. So in this case, the secondary goes to primary and says, hey, I have a folder creation request. Primary says, okay, I got it written, and primary makes a call back to the secondary and says, folder creation succeeded. Now, when that happens, the other mailboxes in the organization would get the update for the folder creation within 15 minutes if there was a user connected, and they would get an update within 24 hours if there was no user connected there. So also note that the folder 2 appears instantly the moment the call from the primary comes back on the mailbox where it was created. So for the creating user, they see it right away. OK, so we've been talking about what's new in modern public folders. So at a high level, if we take a glance at what we had in legacy and what we have in modern public folders, there's really some core differences. One difference is that there are no more public folder databases. There are public folder mailboxes, which are the containers. There is no more replication. There is the DAG infrastructure, which is your data redundancy. There is a single writable copy of the hierarchy, the one master. And lastly, there is ESC. So that's your Exchange Admin Center. And we have new UI, which replaces the old management console, which was a desktop application before. OK. So I talked about the architecture. There are also some things that we did in 2013 to some new things that we worked on, which were not there in legacy. Well, of course, there's migration, because most of you guys already have public folder hierarchies. You want to absolutely keep them, and you also want to bring them to modern public folders. So we built migration from the last two versions of Exchange, 2010 and 2007. There is cross-forest and cross-premise access. Now, this ties in closely with migration, because when customers migrate, a lot of times they don't migrate everything together. So we give you the option where you could migrate your users first, and then you could migrate your public folders. And in the meanwhile, you could have, you might have read the term hybrid configuration on TechNet. So it's the hybrid configuration or the coexistence that you could set up with legacy public folders. And your users who migrated to 2013 or to the cloud can continue accessing your legacy public folders. Okay. Automated storage management is a bonus that service customers get. So for service customers, we say, you don't have to worry about managing storage. You don't really need to worry about creating mailboxes. They fill up and going creating more mailboxes. We'll do that for you. So you could just migrate, or if you're creating it a brand new hierarchy, then you just create the first mailbox. And from there on, as your content fills up, we'll take care of creating more mailboxes. ESC UI is new, like I mentioned. It replaces the management console. There is full text search, which is new in 2013, because before we had search, but it was not full text. And what that means is that with full text search, every word in the folder is indexed, including words and attachments. So if you have within a folder scope, you could search something, and it's a much richer experience for search. Okay, so folder, mailbox, and restore. This is that you can restore mailboxes if they get deleted or disconnected. You can also replace folders and items from your client. And lastly, OWA access. A lot of users are OWA users, so we built OWA access for the service release back in February last year. It was not there at RTM, and now OWA is supported for mail and post type folders. Okay, so let's look at the supported versions of clients. So for clients, we support the last two versions of Outlook, 2010 and 2007. And of course, 2013 Outlook is supported. And as I said, there's no difference in the user experience, which means to the end users, the hierarchy looks identical to legacy public folders. With OWA, mail and post type folders are supported. So you can go to OWA favorites and add a mail or post type folder, and you can do folder operations within that. For Exchange Server, the one thing that you should keep in mind is that 2013 users can access 2013 public folders. They can also access legacy public folders. But legacy users cannot access modern public folders. What that means when you migrate is migrate your users first. So always make sure that cloud migration, especially, bring your users in first. Okay. Migration is a cutover process. So once you start the migration, you can either have the hierarchy on the source or the destination once you migrate. And it is same forest or cross-premise. So those are the two flavors supported today. Okay, let's look a bit more into deploying. And if you're a service customer, as I mentioned, we do automated storage management for you. So you don't have to worry about listening to the slide. You could take a brief nap if you like. Okay, so in this case, I had some users and I wanted to kick off the public folder deployment in my organization. So what I did is I went and created the first mailbox. And as you guys know already now, that first mailbox is the primary public folder mailbox. Now you see two arrows here. There's a white arrow, which indicates the hierarchy connection, and the orange arrow, which indicates the content connection. And these two are different connections, because if you remember, I mentioned that the hierarchy connections always go to the same mailbox for a user. And for content connections, of course, you'll have to go to the mailbox where your content lives. Okay, so now users are happy using public folders. They they create folders. They also create content within the folders. And more users join the organization. So now you can see more white and orange arrows going to my one public folder mailbox. The mailbox seems to be a little overloaded here. What should we do? So what as an admin, you would do is create more mailboxes. And that is the beauty of the DAG infrastructure, is you get to create more mailboxes as you fill the mailboxes up. And it's an easy process because it's using the same commandlets you guys already know with mailbox management. So when you do that, hierarchy is copied automatically to the new mailbox. That's one thing that happens. The second thing that happens is your users get automatically load balanced. So as you can see, when I created the second mailbox, my white arrow for the second set of users now started going to the second mailbox. So essentially, all the users in the organization get divided equally across mailboxes. And some of you might be wondering, can I have certain users go to a specific mailbox? You can absolutely do that. There's an override available for it. Okay, so now users create more folders and messages. So now a lot of activity is happening on the first mailbox still, because still the content is all on the first mailbox. So admin can split the content. And there is a script for it. It's called split public folder mailbox, a PowerShell script. and it builds on the MRS infrastructure. So what does splitting mean? Splitting is what in the service world we use this term, which is that we take half the content, or roughly half the content, of the source mailbox, and we move that to the destination mailbox. So this is our load balancing for storage. So in this case, I took some of my content from the first one to my new public folder mailbox. Okay, so basically, to summarize here, the three steps: you create a mailbox, you create more mailboxes as your content grows, and if you need to as your users grow, you create a new mailbox, and if you create more folders and messages, then you split the mailbox. Okay, so public folders are new in Exchange Online, as I mentioned. And we want to, bring you guys all to service, because service is the place where we want it to be. Yeah. I'm sorry?
For clarification, does that apply to a single folder or only additional folders?
So the previous slide?
Yeah.
Okay, what applies to? Yes.
So if you're wanting to, if the individual folder was growing too much in size, mm-hmm. or you wanted to load balance that,
right.
apply to a single folder or only at the minimum?
Okay, so that's a great question. So the question is, can you apply the splitting to a single folder, or can you only split across folders? And the answer is that you cannot split a folder across multiple mailboxes. So a folder can live only in a single mailbox. So what we recommend is you keep your folders lesser than the size of a mailbox, because, in fact, much lesser, so that split can work. Because if you have a single folder in a single mailbox, there's not much you can do once it grows. All right, so I'll take questions at the end. We'll leave enough time, because we do have a lot of content, and Sugi has all his fun jokes to cover.
It's a demo.
Yeah, he has jokes too. He's been preparing his jokes for a while, and I want to give him the opportunity, because
she makes me scared.
He's the funny one, See, at Microsoft, we are very serious people. So, all right, okay. So let's go to Exchange Online. So Exchange Online public folders is the first time. And as I said, we want you guys to come to service. That's where the innovation is happening. And so we wanted to make the deal sweet for service customers. So some of the things we did, the public folder storage is no additional cost. So you get lots of space, and you get it even if you had a single user mailbox license. That's awesome. So what that means for you is, if you have common content like DL archives, or collaboration stuff that you want to keep in a common place, you don't want to waste space in your user mailboxes, you could use public folders for that. The other one that I talked about, which is the automated storage management. So the previous slide that I mentioned, that is mostly to let the on-premise customers know how to deploy. For Office 365 customers, you just create your first mailbox, or you migrate your public folders, and we take it from there. Okay, cross-premise access is supported from 2013 users accessing legacy public folders. And so always make sure you migrate your users first. Please do remember that. And lastly, there is the EEAC, the Exchange Admin Center UI, which is a lot nicer, a lot richer than what you got in the management console before. And so now we have a consistent management experience for user mailboxes and public folder mailboxes. Okay, so public folders today, as we offer in service, these are the limits that are offered today in service. And also, these are the limits that we have tested public folders with. We've verified that, this is the safe limit to run when you have shared hardware like we have in service. So these are the limits that we also recommend for on-premise customers. So, you know, we recommend that you guys stick within this and go with it. All right. So let's look into investment areas. So as I mentioned before, and probably that's why you guys are all here at MEC, is Exchange is a super innovative product. And we are always wanting to make sure we make our technologies better. And you've already seen that we are super invested into making the public folder experience better. Because, wow, you know, when I became the PM for public folders, I was honestly amazed with the users that use public folders and rely, the businesses that rely on public folders. So we want to make sure we keep investing in this area and keep making it better. So one of the top priorities for us as we're working on public folders is increasing the limits. We know that a lot of you guys have a lot more than we offer, and we absolutely are committed to supporting it. We're also working on optimizing hierarchy sync. That is something that is the lifeblood of public folders, so that needs to be super performant. There are migration improvements coming. Cross-forest is something a lot of you have asked for, so we're working on that. There is client connectivity. So Outlook for Mac is, again, a very popular customer ask, and that is something we're absolutely investing in. And there's other areas. So within service, we are working on the auto-split infrastructure, and so we want to make sure that as the mailboxes grow, we optimally split the mailboxes. Okay, let's see how we're doing on time. Okay, so let me quickly go over this before I hand off to Sagi for all his awesome jokes. I'm just making him nervous with my joke comments. Okay, so for restore scenarios, to take a quick glance, there is really the mailbox restore and the content restore. So for mailboxes, if you delete your secondary mailbox, or if you delete, or you disconnect the mailbox, your AD object disappears, we support restoring that. We also support restoring deleted folders and deleted items. So you could use your Outlook client to do that. And for the primary mailbox, that's your little precious mailbox. I will get to questions in the end. Okay. For primary mailbox, there is safeguards built in place so that you don't, by mistake, go and delete the mailbox and give us a call. We don't want that. So what we have done is we do not allow deletion of the primary mailbox until any secondary mailboxes exist in the organization. And of course, DAG is your savior. So on-premise customers, we highly recommend you guys use DAGs. All right, so handing over to Sagi.
If I don't get the right jokes, then I'm done, yeah?
Yeah, and I mean, if he doesn't crack any jokes, then, you know, you guys could give him a hard time.
You're a very quiet audience for a public folder audience, to be honest.
I think they're doing great, Sagi.
Yeah, you survived it. No. Okay, let's continue with the topics of migration and coexistence. What I will show you is basically the migration process as well. I show you a demo, a live demo, and I hope it works because there's Office 365 involved. And in a live demo, basically that means sometimes I need to wait, but it doesn't really matter. Yeah, it took me up to 3 hours to do this demo, so we can finish right before the party closes, if that's okay for you. Yeah, but okay, let's talk about the migration. Yeah. Before you begin to migrate, there's a couple of things you really should consider. Yeah? And of course, as usual, Microsoft and any consultant recommends to upgrade to the latest version. Why? Because it makes your life easier, to be honest. Yeah? If you are staying on an old version and you wonder why it doesn't work, well, it happened to me. Yeah? But sometimes the latest and greatest is also not the best, yeah? Especially in special areas. Yeah? Yeah, you ran into that. Yeah, it's sometimes so I have made one mistake in a previous conference when I upgraded my computer just the day before. It took me 20 hours to recover it again and make the demo run again. Yeah. But however, RU10 or later and SP3 at least. Yeah. And then of course, It would be good that your replication of your public folders is healthy. Yeah, so that's a common issue when you're wondering why the migration doesn't work correctly. And one key to remember is that all public folders migrate or cut over together. So there's either or, there's no coexistence. There's no, half of the folders are on the legacy side on Exchange 2010, and half of the folders are on Exchange 2013 or on Exchange Online. It's either or. And the requirement, as Kanika already said, you have to have your mailboxes on Exchange 2013. Yeah, before you think that, think about public folder migration. And now my laptop puts itself into sleep. Yeah, that's very nice. Okay. But let's talk about a little bit about the public folder migration process. And this is the legacy to on-prem migration process. The first step, what you should do or you have to do is to run two scripts. And the two scripts are basically exporting all your public folder information, including the size of each public folder into a CSV file. After that, you run, with this CSV file, you run a script called public folder to mailbox map generator. And this script basically splits up your public folders into batches and maps them accordingly to public folder mailboxes. Yeah, so from looking at that script, you will recognize how many initial public folder mailboxes you need in your new structure, yeah, either on Exchange 2013 or Exchange Online. Well, after that, you start creating public folder mailboxes. Yeah, remember, everybody, all your users are still using legacy public folders, so they are still using the public folders located on Exchange 2010. So this process is at the same time. So in the new environment, you create public folder mailboxes, and basically you add the parameter hold for migration and is excluded from surfing hierarchy. Why? So your Exchange 2013 users don't see these public folder mailboxes. Yeah, otherwise, you're screwed, yeah, because part of... It's going to be, it's really tricky if a user calls you and says, you know what? My colleague has a different content of that public folder, and why do I see something different? And you're like, shit. Yeah. Okay, next point. After that, we begin the migration. Yeah, and you will see I rushed through that in my demo very quickly because the new public folder migration request, that's a long word, basically creates a public folder migration request and starts pulling the data out of your legacy public folders and moves them to your modern public folders. And you see that nice animation. And then after of course, creating the hierarchy, it creates the content. Yeah, you see in the mailbox replication service is the service responsible for doing that. And it's always the MRS on the target side. So if you're using Exchange Online or Office 365, Exchange Online dictates the speed of your migration. Yeah, well, after 95%, it goes into auto-suspend. What does this mean? Yeah, well, basically, it allows you to do several delta syncs of your public folder synchronization. So you don't need to shut down your legacy public folders, spend 6 weeks on holiday, or send your users 6 weeks on holiday, and then turn it on again in the new environment. No, that's not necessary. Basically, the background synchronization can last forever. Yeah, like when I look at Thomas and his very large structure, it can go for many months. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. So this is background process. Yeah, the key here is at 95% of the content. So all the content was copied, and it just suspends. So it waits for your approval to finish up the migration. And then at some point when you decided with your users, I hope you talk to your users, or are you the type of admin that doesn't talk to the users? They exist. Believe me. I'm talking. Yeah, sometimes it's really funny. Why do we not? Especially in Asia, it's... No, we get rid of public folders. We don't care. Let's get rid, and doesn't matter. Okay, most of the people talk to their users And they basically define when you want to switch over. Why do you need to talk about that? It's because there's downtime. So there's some time that the user won't be able to access their public folders. Okay, what do? You first lock out your public folder, your users, your public folder users. They continue to use Mailbox, or are able to continue to use their email, obviously. Yeah? They're just locked out of the public folder structure. Yeah, so when they know about that, I guess it shouldn't be that long. Normally, we do it here, and I hope it's done within 15 minutes, but I guess your structure is a little bit bigger than my structure here. After that, you do a delta sync. And this delta sync you can do, as I said, you can do regularly, or more often, depending on the size of your environment. However, once you finish up, you do the final, I'm too quick. That's the replication of the lockdown. So the lockdown normally takes a couple of hours, yeah, minutes, hours, in the old structure to be available to everybody. So you need to wait for the public folder replication to happen. Yeah? After that, you change the migration, the public folder migration request to be able to finish the migration, and you run a resume. Resume is a delta sync and basically synchronizes the rest of the changes to your modern public folders. So, and yeah, as I said, that's the final copy. And it automatically, once it's finished, once it reaches 100%, and you're going to, hopefully you see that, it unlocks the destination. And then there's a very nice part. You are able to switch a single mailbox or more mailboxes and define a target public folder mailbox for that mailbox. So you are able to access the newly or the modern public folders from that mailbox and verify if everything is correct. Yeah, whereas the rest still is locked out. Yeah. Once you verify that, you remove that and you open the structure. So click set mailbox, public folders, and remove that. That's an old slide. Was lost somehow. Sorry for that. Okay, so, but now for the demo, we switch to Exchange Online. Now it gets tricky. Not tricky, but a little bit more complex. Let's talk about that. So first of all, when you're migrating to Exchange Online, you need to consider your mail-enabled public folders. Who's got mail-enabled public folders? Wow. Who mail-enables all public folders? Nobody. Exchange 5.5. Yeah, I have one customer that mail-enables all public folders because they love the custom attributes, and you only get them when they're mail-enabled. But you don't need to mail-enable them. Yeah, recently, I had a discussion with an MVP, and he said, oh, there's a document where you say all the public folders must be mail-enabled. It's not true. Okay, so you need to add an accepted domain. You make sure that the routing is correctly working between your Exchange and Exchange Online. And then you need to run two scripts, yeah? Export and import scripts for mail-enabled folders. And I will run them. Yeah? And after that, you run the public folder migration requests with a couple of more parameters. But we get to that because now I hope we're in the demo. So let me see if my computer is awake, and let me see if that's working. So basically what I wanted to show you now is, it's working. I wanted to show you now live migration of public folders. So in my environment, and when you saw me at TechEd, I had 250 megabytes in my public folders, and in roughly 200 folders, I had to reduce that to 30 folders and 5 megabyte, because my internet link back in Germany is not the fastest one. So that's the first learning point. Yeah, you need a big pipe if you have a lot of public folders to the internet, yeah, to make everything to replicate. But it works even, it just takes a little bit longer. Yeah. So first of all, you basically run the two scripts. Remember the export public folder statistics and the public folder to mailbox map generator. Yeah, when you ran them, it creates you a file, And let me show you the file quickly so you see how it looks like. So basically, So I have two connections here. That's the connection to Exchange Online. Yeah, and migration is pure PowerShell. Who's a PowerShell guru? I'm not. Yeah, so, oh, this guy, yeah, up front. So that's the reason he sits in the first row. Yeah. Yeah, so basically it's a couple of scripts you run, but they're pretty easy, so I'm able to understand them. So here you see the export, and basically it says, okay, all the public folders, all the public folders, and please create a public folder mailbox called PF1. That's all what it says. Normal, the standard is mailbox1, but with mailbox1, I was typing myself to death. Yeah, so I changed that to PF1. Okay, so the first thing is we create a new public folder mailbox. Bing, bing. So here you see, yeah, new mailbox, public folder, the name, and you have to have these two parameters. If you forget that, your migration request will not run. Yeah? So hold for migration is true and is excluded from serving hierarchy. Is excluded from serving hierarchy is basically preventing that your users access it. Okay, so we create a mailbox here. Once it's creating in Exchange Online this mailbox, and you see sometimes it takes a little bit, I show you the move request because that's the next thing to do. So basically the move request requires credentials, and the credentials must be org admin. Oops. Come on. You know that error, so you know what? Close it and open it again. That's solving the issue normally. What, restart Exchange Online? That's going to be, Kanika, can you call somebody to restart that for the demo? That's going to be interesting. Yeah. If we get it done in 10 minutes, yeah?
1,000 customer calls to address, yeah.
Yeah, can somebody look on Exchange Online on the, if it still is working? No, but it works. Okay, let me reconnect that. It seems that they changed something. That's, by the way, the funny part on this morning when they say, okay, the Exchange admin's jobs change because of Exchange Online. I was thinking, yeah, that's true. I get a lot of more free time. Come on, what's that? Access denied? Oops. Wrong credentials. Okay, here, of course, I have to log on with my Exchange Online credential. And once I did that, I can run the rest. Bing, bing. And now it imports the session. So now I'm connected to Exchange Online in the old-fashioned way. That takes a second. Come on. So, okay, now we go and create our public folder mailbox. And that's, of course, in here. Public folder mailbox. So, okay, bing, it's there. Wow, that was quick, even for Exchange Online. So the next step is the move request, and I'm speeding up a little bit because the move request is a kind of tricky thing, but I still decided to show it to you because I like to do demos which are a little bit trickier, yeah, and sometimes work or not. Okay. So that was the credential. I told you that we need to have Exchange org or organization and management permission. So you have to provide a user that is a full-blown public folder admin in any sense. Then you need to define a couple of settings that I explain in a minute. But let me start first the public folder migration request. So, okay. Now we issued the migration request. So let's have a look, because now we have some time. It's not Sunday, unfortunately, because yesterday I managed to ran this in 2 minutes. Yeah, nowadays it's Monday. So this morning it took 20 minutes in the queue for the migration request. But let's just mention Let's take a look at what you need to configure. Basically, what you need to configure is a mailbox and an admin account. Yeah, you of course need to configure the remote public folder server's legacy domain name, but there are scripts, so there's public folder commands where you can read them. And finally, the most important thing is Outlook Anywhere. You need to provide it with your Outlook Anywhere access point, and I saw that in the instruction, for example, this is says basic, so the authentication method of course has to match your authentication method of your access, Outlook Anywhere access point. Okay, so that's the first thing. So now let's see how far the migration request is. So for doing that, we run a commandlet, which is which basically provides us with the statistics, and it's the same command. Well, it's not the same commandlet, but it provides the same statistics as a move request with mailboxes. For those that are familiar with Exchange 2010, mailbox moves, you add include report, and then at the end you get the details. And the details right now is okay. We created a request. You saw that? Yeah. So we created a request, and the funny thing is, okay, we not only created a request, we are number one in the queue. It's good, eh? Yeah, you're so excited today. I think they are waiting for the drinks, Kanika. Yeah? Just here, because outside it's too warm. I hope that's not true. So, okay, after that, let me show you, while this is running, I'll show you a couple of things. So the first one I wanted to show you is the coexistence part. Yeah? So I configured my environment to be coexistent. So Exchange Online mailboxes can access my legacy mailboxes that are based in my Exchange server back at home. So organizational config, and that's configured. So that's all configured in organizational config of Exchange Online. Yeah, and I need to add an FL, and then it's okay. Yeah. So here, and that's really easy. But I talk about that in a minute. Basically, I did configure the public folders enabled as remote and defined a public folder mailbox. Yeah, let me talk about that in a minute, but that's how you configure it. What you see is, and let me switch to my desktop. So now I open the Outlook profile of my Donald. Yeah, Donald is a user that sits on Exchange Online and basically is happy.
Isn't that Donald Duck?
That's Donald Duck, yeah. I know this guy. You know it as well?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a funny guy. At least he doesn't complain when I shut down the public folder structure. Yeah, so here you see, by the way, if that works, you have to clap. But that works, that's it works. Yeah, if it doesn't work, oh, very good, very, very good. Yeah, if it doesn't work, you have to wait. You have to wait. Yeah, so right now, you see, I can access the legacy public folders, and you have to trust me on that. It's the legacy folders. Yeah, and we can post here something. I don't post an item here. Yeah? That's not supported by Uber. No, let's post hi, Kanika. Yeah? Test. Okay. So that's it. You see, we did that. So basically, in Uber, the Bing Bong did something update. So in Ova, it looks like that. So remember, I'm still on, something changed. So in Ova, as I'm still on legacy public folders, there is no public folder here, and it cannot be accessed right now. It can be accessed later. So that's the purpose of this demo, to show you, okay, right now I cannot access it. What I of course can is I configured coexistence. So I can, and I configured also mail enabled folders, so I can write an email to my public folder which sits on Exchange 2010. Well, my environment is still on 2010, but I have called systems. It's everything in there. Yeah? Okay. So what do we do now? Yeah. In order to migrate the mail-enabled public folders, we switch to Exchange 2010. Welcome. That's my Exchange 2010 folder server. Yeah. Basically, what you need to do here is you need to run the export, and it's called export mail public folders. Yeah. Export mail public folders for migration script. Yeah. Oh, by the way, the scripts are also updated frequently. So don't use a script from back half a year ago when you want to migrate in the future. Use the latest one once it's there. Yeah, so download always updated scripts as well, the migration scripts. Okay, so I run that. And basically, what it does, it looks for all my mail-enabled public folders and creates an XML file. Yeah. And in that in that XML file, of course, all your public folders are there. Yeah? If there is an issue with the public folders, then you will run into an issue here. Yeah? The best workaround here is to check with commandlets such as get public folder, because if get public folder doesn't work, the rest doesn't work, obviously. Yeah. Okay, so the next here is, by the way, right now, the key point is dirsync does not support it. We need to run this because dirsync, that were the guys up front before this session. Who attended the session before that? It's their fault that we need to do that. Yeah? I hope you blame them and not us. Yeah? So in the next version I heard, or in the next version after the next version, or in the next version after the next
we
version.
Are working with dirsync
to make this step go away. Yeah, let's hope. That's great. So at least we don't need to do that anymore if it's part of dirsync. But right now, the purpose of this script is to synchronize your email addresses. That's all. Yeah, nothing more, nothing less. So basically, we do an export. And surprise, surprise, we need to import that file on the other side, of course. And that side is here. Yeah, that's my Exchange Online. And basically, I import that file. If it's run, it runs, but no. Myself, sorry for that. After we closed it, I have to put the right path in it and forgot about that. Okay, so what it does, it imports everything. So I have fantastic 2 folders mail enabled, yeah, which is really good. So now it adds the email addresses to your Exchange Online object. And basically what happens here is at that point, your Exchange Online users are able to send an email to that address. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, using mail routing and the hybrid configuration that I run, it doesn't really matter. It didn't really matter up front. But if you're more strict, then of course this would allow to address the public folders. Okay, so now let's switch back and let's see how far we with our move request. Because that's the key. Oh, it's bad. It's still in the queue, even though we are number one. Yeah. So who's migrating my public folders right now? Yeah. Who is the guy just in front of me? Yeah. Yeah. Number one. Yeah. You heard about there's the German Lufthansa is on strike this week. Have you heard about that? So Andreas was on the queue in the telephone, and I think you have been number 560 or something like this, yeah. But okay, because that is running, let me switch back and talk a little bit about the coexistence part. Yeah, this is to overcome the time that we need. Normally, when I would do that for a customer, I would say, "Oh yeah, it's running," and then start surfing. Yeah. So after like 2 hours, coffee break, yeah, lunch break, and then you come back and take another look. If it's still not ready, well, you call it a day and go home next day. Of course they have to charge that. Come on. Yeah. We are not working for free here. Yeah. Okay. So Exchange Online. Basically, the coexistence is very, very easy to configure if your environment works. Yeah, so the only thing you need is DirSync, but that's required, of course. Otherwise, Exchange Online doesn't know about the identities you're using. Yeah, and it supports Exchange 2007, 10, and 13. So how do you configure that? And now it gets a little bit more tricky because it's hard to understand that, but we get to that. So first of all, you need to add, so if you're running Exchange 2010, on your public folder servers, you need to add the CAS role. Oh, why is that? Yeah, let's continue. You then create an empty mailbox database on that specific public folder server that you previously added the CAS server to. Makes sense, yeah? No, it's technically, yeah? And then, of course, when you create an empty mailbox, you create a mailbox database, you need to add a mailbox there. After that, you configure the RPC client access server to the empty database. So for each empty database to point to that specific FQTN of the CAS server, of the public folder server. And the clue here is, if you're not using load balancer, and I hope you're using load balancer in a shared namespace, if you're not using that, then forget point 1 to 4, then you just create a mailbox and that's it. This is because the public folder needs to access or needs to find the public folder server where it can access the public folders on, and that's the purpose of that. Yeah? In the documentation, it said we need to run to do this for each public folder database. Well, I guess it's good to have at least a good load balancing available. So create more than one, yeah, and create as many as you need. Yeah, that's correct, Kanika. Yeah, it's just so basically it's a lot of work to create the additional databases, but they are needed to find the access to the public folders. So after that, of course, you need to run the export and import public mail public folders for migration scripts. Also in this situation, why? DirSync doesn't support that. Yeah, so that's the reason you need it here. And finally, and that's my favorite part, the configuration in Exchange Online is really nice. It's set config organization a config, public folders enabled, remote, and then you just call the public folder mailboxes that you have created. You click return, you wait probably, well, in my demo it took half an hour. So don't expect it to work immediately. We are not on-prem anymore. We are in the cloud. Yeah? Laughing in the back? What you did that experience, you have that experience as well? No. Okay. Oh, you're good. She was looking. Ah, so let's switch back. Very good. Yeah, your magic hands, Kanika. That's really wow. So here you see we got on place number one and we are starting. Yeah, so the copy process. So right now it's copying. And you see the time. The time is universal time zone. So UAT, it's England. Yeah, therefore, it's right now it's 10 p.m. there. So, come on. Yep, we got it. So now we are in the suspended state. Yay. No, wait. No, you don't need to leave. I'm not finished yet.
They were just waiting for
the
migration to finish.
The drinks are gone. I have the drinks here. Yeah, if you leave, you don't get any drinks. Yeah, German. You have German beers here in Texas? You have German breweries here in Texas, I saw. Yeah, so right now, as I said, 95%, we are suspended. Yeah. So what we do now is we need to lock, and that's the area basically where the users get locked out. We need to lock the old public folder structure, and that's done, of course, in Exchange 2010, in order to finalize the sync. So what we do now is we lock. So where is it? Lock, there is it. So we lock the public folder structure in Exchange 2010. The clue here is I was able to improve the process by restarting the the IS service. Yeah, everybody knows what the IS service is about. You shouldn't run this in your production environment to make sure. Yeah. So the IIS service basically puts offline all your databases. Yeah. So, but it increases, it speeds up my process here. Okay. So don't run this. Just wait. It only takes 2 hours, and you can have another coffee and another lunch break for doing that. Yeah. After that, basically you come back and well, it's locked right now. If not, we will see that in here in a second. What we now do is I just look at the time. I have to know. So what we need to do is change that to prevent completion. So our move request is changed. So we set the move request basically to prevent completion false, which is like, okay, it's complete, finish up, please. And once this is done, we have the final resume. Oh no. Hello? Hello? I think that's that. That's the problem with a live demo. It's breaking! No, if everybody claps, all your public folders are gone. They're migrated. So that's okay? Sorry for that. Well, the last step that I am now... Sorry, my line breaks. Let's just continue, maybe. Sorry for the live demo. But basically, we're almost at the last step. Yeah, so it's reopening that. And so once we got the resume working, it will finish up. It will finish up the migration. And if it says at the last, from 95 to 100%, if it says mailbox is locked in a public folder move request, this does not mean the public folder mailbox is locked. This means that your source environment is still not locked. Yeah, it's a little bit like, oh, you have to think twice about that. And yeah, once we unlock it, which is bad. No. Let's just continue because we only have 10 minutes left. So basically you unlock the new public folder structure. When you access the new public folder structure, there's a question?
So when you were doing the other part and you were doing the migration,
yep.
You can still access the old public folders.
That's true, yeah. During the migration, you can still access the public folders. You can access the public folders up to the point where I locked the old legacy part. And the final, right now it's locked. Right now, nobody can access the public folders because the next step is to unlock them. And then you need to allow more time for Office 365 to make it distributed to all the domain controllers. And then, of course, it opens up for the new one. However, if you still have mailboxes on Exchange 2010, then, of course, these mailboxes won't be able to access your public folders anymore. That's key to remember. Yeah? Move the mailboxes first because there's no access of Exchange 2010 mailboxes to modern public folders. And once you open it, also OVA is working. Okay, 10 minutes left.
Step number 6.
Yeah, no, it's okay.
Step number 6 has to wait for third sync to finish to get these proxy MV1 and proxy MV2
show up. No, not really. This is just configuring your order discover in your Outlook so your Outlook finds the way back to your legacy Exchange system. Durysync is a requirement to make the authentication work.
But this proxy MV1 and proxy MV2, which are the mailboxes that we created, the mailboxes, does they require to show up on Exchange Online?
I guess yes. Yeah, you're right.
Need to wait for Durysync to
Finish
that process before you...
Correct. But you can start. You can run start online synchronization on your Durysync server and then make it. Yeah, you're right. Of course, it must be available. It must be available to. Otherwise, you will get an error message that they cannot see the mailbox. Yeah, so Durysync must be there. You're absolutely right. And you see, I start it and then I immediately go to my Durysync server and start it. and push it through. It's also a good way to improve the performance for accessing your modern public folders. Once you change everything, you should run dsync as well. Okay, let's continue about. We just have like 9 minutes left, but that's okay. We have a couple of guidelines here that I wanted to mention. Yeah, first of all, and Thomas can sing a song about that. Yeah, clean up your existing public folders. But that's it's common sense, I guess. Yeah, it's harder to clean it up than it is talking about. Yeah, and of course, introduce alternatives. Some of your users are really hard depending on public folders, but there are alternatives that sometimes make sense. Reduce public folder replicas, and I would recommend reduce them as much as possible. Go back to one replica, that's okay. Yeah, it makes your life easier during the migration, and you don't have that many issues. Yeah, so if you have just, you can create one large public folder servers if your environment is not too big for one server, and just replicate everything there and then remove the replicas and use this one for moving to Exchange Online or Exchange 2013. Yeah, of course, first the mailboxes. Yeah, first all mailboxes and then the synchronization. You can start the public folder migration synchronization during the moving of the mailboxes because there is Delta Sync, so it doesn't really matter. Yeah. And as I said, you can go many months for delta sync of public folders. Yeah? If you don't change anything or your structure, if you change anything, then you just create a new public folder request. It will clean up your public folder mailboxes and start over again. Yeah, so the only thing what you will see is you will have more performance or more pressure on the system. Yeah? And then finally, of course, we talked about that. Define a weekend to lock down the old structure, do the final delta sync, and then go to the new structure. Okay, so planning aspects. Finally, something to remember. Yeah. So the first thing is, does it make sense to go to Exchange 2013 at all? After what Kanika said with her limits, if you exceed these limits, and you should probably wait a little bit more time give Microsoft more time to do the testing and the improvement of the more complex structures. Right. So you can stay on the legacy public folders.
Also, I want to add that aside from the limits, it's also about the scenarios that you really need to use. So if you already have public folders, you know, you're using them, really think about what are the scenarios that you are using public folders for. And that's one of the reasons we really want to have a conversation with you to understand what are those core scenarios, which public folders are unique for you, right? So just keep in mind the scenarios and see if there are other technologies that are also meeting your needs so that, you know, you don't have this gargantuan hierarchy which nobody's using, right? So just make sure you're really focusing on what you need to do with public folders.
And don't forget, in 6 p.m. is the time to come to us, to Microsoft, to the product team, and help us out with the information that how your public folder environment looks like.
Right.
Yeah. That's 6 o'clock. Let me finish up and then do the question. Is this okay? And if there's more question tomorrow at 9, we have the big question and answer session, the Unplugged, where you can really ask any kind of question around public folders and about the history of public folders. Yeah. Okay. Some more planning aspect, reduce as much as possible, that's common sense. One thing is to remember, a public folder mailbox currently can host approximately 2,000 active connections or active users, public folder users. So if your environment is larger, you should clearly consider upfront to create more public folder mailboxes. Even the public folder migration script just wants 2 mailboxes to be created. Otherwise, you run into performance issues in that area. Yeah. What else? Plan where you place your public folder mailboxes. Of course, they should be placed in a DAG because if you lose them, your data is gone. Yeah. And okay, so we are at the key takeaways.
Yeah. So we're basically at the summary of the session, and a few key takeaways. You already understood the architecture. You know, there's a single writable hierarchy. You know that Office 365 gets free storage for public folders. You know, just again, as I said, really revisit the scenarios that you are using it for. And of course, Siggy did a great job with the migration. He's the only person I know who can make PowerShell that fun. all right, so from there, and you know, remember PowerShell for public folders. That's even a harder one, huh? So, okay, so, and also prune your hierarchies. Make sure, you know, if you have dead folders in the tree, do remove them.
Okay.
And finally, migration is cut over. Okay, so before we jump into Q&A, just a quick reminder that there are these two sessions. The first one, for us to understand your scenarios, we want to ask you the questions. What are the things that you need public folders for? What is the reason you use them? And the second one is a Q&A, so you will get a whole hour and 15 minutes to talk about public folders and site mailboxes and ask your questions.
So tomorrow at 9 a.m., the first session, it's our session to ask the nasty questions, yeah?
Right.
If you've been too long out, it's no problem. We get water in the room. Yeah, you can come and ask nasty questions. Yeah, but it definitely will be an interesting discussions with you about public folders and site mailboxes. So if you're interested in that topic, definitely come and join us for a great discussion.
Mm-hmm. And Siggy is moderating that session, so more great jokes.
And I find them today in Rainy Street, yeah?
Oh, yeah, you catch him there and get a sneak peek on his jokes for tomorrow.
Okay.
And today the room is 5A, so do make a note. It's not the same room. It's a different room. It's 5A. And do fill out the session evaluations, please.
There's a slide on that.
You haven't already done that.
So we have a link collection. We have this, yes.
Yeah, so link collection. The deck is going to be available. So if you guys need links and... Again, fill out the evaluations, please.
So in the slide deck, we added our email address. Yeah.
Okay, and then we have a really short amount of time for Q&A, but let's address any questions.
2.5 minutes left. So who has questions?
Yes.
Oh. You're going to answer them because I have to go?
could you come to the microphone and ask questions so we can get it for the recording?
I think it's already just come up front and we talk about that. Yeah, or is it of interest for everybody?
No, please go to the microphone.
Yeah.
If you have a customer with just above the limits that you publish for Office 365, so say 12, 13,000, can you start the synchronization knowing you're going to trim the tree before you cut over?
So you're saying they want to trim the tree, but they want to trim it after the migration?
Yeah, worried about getting all the data in.
Okay. Yeah, they could trim the tree after the migration as much as they can before. Although the benefit of doing it before migration is, of course, your migration is more optimal. So I would recommend they trim it before because it's like moving houses and moving my junk furniture, which I'm going to donate anyway, right? So, yeah. All right.
The ability to upgrade modern public folders was really our number two business driver for going to 2013. We've completed our user upgrades, and now your new guidance comes out just about 6 weeks ago with the 10,000 limit for on-prem deployment. So we're going to stop here. We have users on Macs and who use OA, and we told them, well, just relax, you'll get the public folders very soon. And now there is no future for us.
Right. And so your concerns are the clients and the size of the hierarchy. Is that right?
I mean, in the short term, it would be nice to have access through OA and Mac Outlook to legacy public.
Right. So that's something that also is high on the priority list, as you guys saw. We are working with the Mac Outlook team actively on that. Until we do that, I would recommend that you keep your Mac and OA users on the legacy version so they can continue accessing the legacy public folders.
So you did you uninstall Exchange 2010?
Oh, well, we still have it in the organization, just in the US employees.
Could you meet me after the session? We could go over it offline.
Yeah.
I have 12 questions.
12 questions, no problem.
Oh my God.
Nika, that's you. Yeah.
I will book an hour for us to talk after this.
Is there a way to get rid of internet news groups without using one of the SI edit? Actually, that's kind of cool. But my real question is, in Office 365, is there going to be a way to browse public folders like old OWA?
It's a subtree.
In OA? Yes, so that's another thing on client connectivity that we are looking into investing. We want to, in the near future, you might not see a full tree, but we are working on figuring out, and again, please come to the scenario discussion. We're working on figuring out what are those core folders that you need to see there, what are the types, and we can make those available. So, yeah.
When it comes to configuring coexistence, you have to install the CAS world on the mailbox, the public mailbox, yes. So do they need to be internet facing?
Yes.
Outlook Anywhere. Well, basically, the Outlook Anywhere access needs to go. No.
You know, let me follow up
on that one. That's
an
interesting, tricky question because basically you need one CAS service and the CAS can CAS proxy.
Right.
Yeah. So if that's the case, of course it would work. But I think Do you have a business card? Oh, by the way, I also have business cards up front here. So if you want to take one, just send me or just write to us here.
All right. But let me get back to you on that one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I think back to at least you need to have a pipe and of course something like an internet proxy that can forward the requests to exchange. I've done it as well.
Okay, please come.
I have a very big customer with 42,000 mailboxes that we are bringing into Office 365.
Okay.
Now, one of the concerns that I have is that they have a very, very deep public folder structure. I have no experience of migrating it to Office 365, but in the past, when I tried to do that, and migrating a deep, very deep folder structure in public folder, it was a nightmare.
You mean subfolders are deep?
The whole folder structure keep going down and down and down. And
how deep is the structure?
Yeah, it's impossible to deep sometimes, like 1,000 layers down in the public folders are sitting.
Oh, that's cool.
So do you guys have any guidance or any exposure or any?
Wow, that's a hard one. Let's sync up offline on that one, too. That's a very custom scenario. But the general guidance is, you know, let's keep it realistic. We know we're building software, right? Software has limits, and we need to, we're working on increasing it, but at the same time, you know, 1,000 is sort of an outlier, so I absolutely understand, but let's figure out what we can do.
In addition to that, because when these public folders are created for some business processes, the naming convention of those public folders are so messed up that not only the hierarchy of the folder structure gets into trouble, but the names are like, do not migrate this up to this.
Yeah.
So now this public folder has got such a huge name, and then it comes into the hierarchy. The whole naming becomes so very difficult for any LDAP or any application to handle. And that's the challenge that I have ran into several times.
Let's talk after the session.
Did you run the export public folders statistics script?
No,
did
no,
you try
no,
that?
No, I'm just talking.
No, it's on-prem. You run this on-prem, and it exports all your public folders. And the only requirement is that it should not include or it cannot include any backslash. So the name cannot include any backslash. But
right.
We did a similar thing, and we just cleaned up the stuff
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
The depth of the structure. Well, you're talking about the size of the names of a public folder.
Yeah.
And what's important is the depth of the structure.
Yeah,
and not the size of the name, but
I would love to talk about your scenario offline.
Can you
it's
come
very interesting. So yeah, please do.
Yeah, 5 p.m. No, no, it's 6 p.m.
Yeah, we'll
6
have some
PM.
Time between sessions. So
great.
Yeah, we'll catch up. Yes.
All the way down and around the other side of the convention center. So here,
okay.
The scenario session, it's a little bit of a hike.
Okay.
Okay.
So you're gonna stand there and wave to collect all the sheeps.
I have to make a pit stop. It's not gender appropriate for.
Oh.
Okay. So. Right.
Well,
go
we
ahead.
Can wait out, outdoor.
Good question for you. You said something about folders and moving folders from one mailbox to another.
That's right.
So my question to you is, and I think we just had this conversation, but this is my answer, and I think this is what's going to happen. If you move the folder from one mailbox to another, will the OSD compression that's in the mailbox now, will that work for me, or will that come, would I retain size back, or will the mailbox remain the same size without moving folders from that mailbox?
So what we are doing is we are simply just saying we are going to split the content of the mailbox, right? So imagine you had a 50 gig mailbox, it's 30 gigs full, and you decide to split it, right? You run the split PowerShell script, and it moves roughly half the content. So let's say it picks 14 gigs of the content. It just takes 14 gig sum of folders and moves that. So does that make sense? So after you're finished, you'll have 16 on the source and 14 on the destination.
So as far as the mailbox storage is concerned, I get that 14 back and
yes.
Also works with that OST compression.
I'm not sure on the OST compression. Yeah, let me follow up. Or you could send me an email. I'll follow up now. Yeah? All right. Anybody else? I'm not sure I understand the question.
Trying to better understand, how do I scale public folders? I'm not sure exactly.
For getting an understanding of how many users are using it,
yeah.
Right? Right. Let me follow up on that one. I'll have to sync with my team on that one. Yeah. But I do know there are metrics that we collect on the service. I'll have to figure out what we have available for on-premise. So I'll get back to you. Thanks.
For the coexistence scenario, you said you can install the Casual on all the mailbox servers that have multiple databases. Do I have to do that, or could I just build up a new fresh exchange server, replicate all the public folders over to that one, and then just use that one as my public with my public mailbox as coexistence?
You could do that. You would need CAS on 2010 anyway, because we use CAS to connect to the mailboxes that you created.
So I'm trying to avoid a lot of my customers. They don't want to touch their current mailbox servers in production.
Right. You could create a new mailbox server. That's totally fine. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. One last question, if there is any. Looks like there's none. So
great. Thank you, guys.